Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Some bad news. A man and a woman in England were having a pretend sword fight, as you do, last Sunday, while dressed as Vikings, and the guy got a little too into it. Their neighbor said that they were both using real swords, again, as you do if you're real Vikings. And the guy was, quote, practicing his moves. Well, one of those moves caught her in the neck and apparently hit an artery. Oh, boy. She almost bled out. Paramedics got there in time, gave her a blood transfusion, rushed her to the hospital, and she survived.
I mean, if you are going to role play and cosplay as, you know, as real as you possibly can, you can't be using bitch-ass axes or bitch-ass swords. You gotta use the real deal.
Well, I feel like it was pretty real if she almost died.
Well, I mean, I think she's going to learn a valuable lesson. You know, you defend the neck next time.
True.
Well, here's the thing, though, Mahoney, is that if you have a chick that is down enough to be a pretend Viking in sword fight with you, make sure you don't kill her, because there's just not a lot of those out there.
One in a
million.
You know? I mean, this is Viking culture, man. Picking. It's the strong survive. You know, I can't be going to my Viking cosplay groups and have somebody who is not able to wield a sword properly. I mean, that would, you know how much that would reflect upon me as a Viking?
Audrey, help us out here as the lone woman on the show. I mean, do you think that this was sort of a foreplay in a way? I mean, do you think that this was like? Hey,
I don't think they have much sex, Dave.
Really?
I just can't imagine.
Oh, they have all the sex,
all the sex,
all the sex. Do it's something that I don't really want to envision. I feel like it's like very grunty and breathy, and I feel like maybe
he's
smelly
wearing a
as well.
Dead animal on him. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it's happening.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. My hat isn't the only thing that's horny
that I'm
around
wearing.
Here. Yeah. Some good news today as well. Eating chocolate
too. You know, I mean that's. I mean, it'd be one thing if she died. You know, would it have been a Viking funeral at that point? Do they get the longboats and send her out and then set them on fire? Is that what? Isn't that a Viking's funeral? How you go out?
You float them out, and then you.
See, just get me a pontoon, throw some gasoline on that, and just let me go.
What happened to Susan? She's in Valhalla.
Valhalla, here I come.
She's in Valhalla.
Now, some good news today as well. Eating chocolate more than once a week wards off heart disease. Okay. Baylor College of Medicine in Houston wanted to better understand how it affects the blood vessels feeding the heart. More than 333,000 people were followed around for 9 years with their chocolate consumption noted. Those who indulged more than once a week were 8% less likely to develop coronary artery disease than the participants who treated themselves less often. Over an average of nearly 9 years, 14,000 participants developed coronary artery disease, and 4,667 had a heart attack. The scientists did not look into what type of chocolate, like dark or milk, is more beneficial than others. Optimal portion size also unclear. However, the scientists stressed that people should not overindulge. Doesn't this seem a little flaky for a study done by the Baylor College of Medicine, where they're following 333,000? Like, is this correlation or is this causation? Is this just by chance that the people are? And also, like, if you're doing a study, shouldn't you like note if it's milk chocolate or dark chocolate?
Yes.
And the portion size also seems
white chocolate.
Nobody wants
white chocolate.
White
chocolate.
Yeah.
You don't like white chocolate?
White chocolate is the not low of chocolates.
It is the inferior of the other two chocolates.
No, dark chocolate is the worst out of all.
Yeah, I agree.
No, white chocolate, dark chocolate. You're going to give me that Hershey's dark chocolate and that mixed bag for Halloween?
Yes.
Man, what kind of monster eats that?
And it's going to get eaten first.
Yeah,
by my garbage. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean,
this garbage mouth. I'll eat it right now.
White chocolate isn't even chocolate. It's just tasty wax. It's not good.
It is. Yeah. Oh, that's so true. Why does it taste so much like wax?
You're tasty wax.
I am.
That's right, I am.
You're untasty wax. It's like dark chocolate. Oh, bitch.
You can just take my joke and flip it and then go, oh, bitch, at the end.
Yeah. You hate better. That's how it happens.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So it's been a relatively rough go for old American Airlines and Southwest Airlines. They report a combined second quarter loss of $3 billion.
Oh.
American Airlines, the lion's share of that, $2.1 billion lost in the second quarter, and their revenue tumbled more than 86%. Southwest Airlines similarly reported a $915 million loss for the quarter. So, I mean, you think about all these businesses out there and how difficult it is for a lot of them to, you know, be able to function, you know, especially with a lot of closures, a lot of forced closures in many cases. And you think about how they don't have any money coming in, which is a huge problem for them, obviously. But then you think about the cost that it takes to run an airline, and these airlines aren't just not getting money from other people. They're just hard stop, and they're losing money as a result. Again, the fact that in a single quarter, American Airlines can lose $2.1 billion is insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's a lot of money to just set on fire. I mean, couldn't you just basically just power the jets on burned money at that point if you're losing $2 billion plus in you know, just a couple of months?
That's pretty unbelievable. But you know, hopefully they're able to bounce back. The airline's in a really tough spot right now.
And again, not to you know, continue to yell this down your throat, but if we want our economy to come back, we need to be able to, and everybody needs to be able to go out into our economy and feel safe. Mm-hmm. And be able to spend the money that we have to keep that engine going. So, you know, do your part, whether or not, like, you believe the virus exists or not, or it's a big conspiracy. One thing you can look at is the economy, and look at a lot of these major American companies that are losing massive amounts. And there's one way to fix it: get rid of it.
Yep, make it go away.
Yep.
So this is really interesting. The former team that was the Washington Redskins have revealed their new name, and
oh,
it's
so good.
It's so good. They do everything so well. This is arguably the dumbest name that they could have possibly come up with. So for the upcoming season, we're calling ourselves
it's brilliant.
Oh, really?
Tell me, you think?
I'll tell you why. Tell everybody what the name is, and I'll tell you why it's brilliant.
The upcoming season, we're calling ourselves, quote, the Washington Football Team.
Creative genius. A lot of input and effort.
The reason why the Washington Football Team, or the football team from Washington, is such a brilliant name is because everybody is talking about how stupid this name is, and they're not talking about all the awful things that have occurred, you know, in the back office and behind the scenes in the Washington Redskins organization. That's what's going on, and that's why this is a brilliant move by them, because the you know, some of the leaks that have started to filter their way out about what's coming down the pipe about Washington is pretty horrific.
I feel like it just seems like they're putting it on the back burner. Like, that we're not even going to worry about this right now.
Oh, for sure. Bleh, but I mean,
let's
but
put it off.
But
so that is an exceptionally stupid take, Mahoney. I mean, you have a lot of stupid takes. That is a really stupid take.
No,
yeah, because here's the thing
on.
Is that the internet doesn't forget. So calling ourselves the Washington Football Team, I mean, let's say, for example, somebody comes into a doctor's office and they have a broken leg. And then they set themselves on fire. That's what this is. So you still have a broken leg once you put yourself out. You're still going to have to address that and get that fixed. But you just happen to be burning right now. That's what this whole strategy is.
They didn't care enough to fix the broken leg.
But this isn't setting yourself on fire. This is setting the building on fire as well. So,
and then they put the building out, your leg is still broken. The thing is, I mean, imagine this on a Thursday night football game. And Al Michaels is bringing it in, and he's like, tonight it's the Jaguars and the football team.
It is so bad. It makes me think that they don't even believe that they're going to be actually playing
ball this year.
The name is
horrible, but it's intended to be horrible.
No, it's not.
To distract. Yes, it is.
You are giving them away from
what's really going on down there in Washington.
You give morons way too much credit. You think they're being
clever. There's billions of dollars involved. This is what they hired a high-powered PR team. This is what they came up with because it sounds so stupid.
Stunningly stupid.
And you're here talking about how stupid the name is, and you're not talking about the horrible, awful things that are
coming.
It's right there. We were just talking about it on Tuesday. I mean, no one's forgetting that. This just happens to be another mistake.
The media moves on real quick.
No, they don't. What a dumb take.
People who are only paying half attention, this is the story that they remember.
The only problem is now they're stuck with the worst name in all of sports.
Until they change it next season. They're just going to wait for all of this to blow over. That's what they've been doing for years and years and years. We're like, we'll consider doing X, Y, or Z. That's what they do, man.
Oh, buddy. No.
Do you think they're just going to get bought out at this point? Like, I mean, really, like, if they're just digging themselves in this kind of a hole?
I don't think they're going to get bought out. It depends on what's going to happen. It depends on what the owners do and what kind of – how deep this goes inside the NFL. Like, you know, who's involved? You know, I mean, depending on who's involved at the top, you know, if they want to get rid of them, they'll force them to sell the team. That's what will happen. We've already seen that happen a couple times over the last few years. But
sounds like they're due for a rebrand.
Yeah, rebranded again. Here we go.
That's not a stupid take. That's actually probably the best
really,
take.
Really, really bad take.
In this room.
In this room? You're the only
you're
one that
only
had
one
that terrible
in your
take.
Room. You're in your room.
You're in your own room right now.
You don't know who's in my room.
Yes, we do.
Now, you know, my wife could be here.
Is she? Tell her to say hi real quick.
Hi.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So I had oysters for the first time a couple of weeks ago. Let me just say this. Oysters suck. I can safely say the only good thing about oysters is the fact that they sometimes have pearls in them. That's it.
Message deleted.
How dare you, sir? Oysters are delightful. And if you get bad oysters, then yeah, I'm sure you have a horrible experience. But it's just like bad ham, bad anything.
I mean,
you can have bad experience.
Slimy.
Sure, they're kind of slimy. But seafood is kind of slimy.
Nah, man. Lobster's not slimy.
Lobster's gross. Lobster's
shrimp, scrimps aren't slimy.
Sure they
kind
are.
Of.
Yes,
kind
they
of.
Are.
A little bit.
Delicious
yes,
scrimps.
No, yeah. But oysters are so good.
Salmon's not slimy. Crab's not slimy.
Okay. Which and kind of oysters do you like better, Dave? The East Coast or West Coast oysters?
The East Coast oysters, I haven't had as many because I got into oysters more when I moved to the West Coast. Yeah, which is kind of strange, right? Because, I mean, when I lived in South Carolina, oysters were a really big thing. But I've gotten more into them on the West Coast. I will say I enjoy them both, but West Coast gets this slight nudge for me. What about you?
I like the West Coast oysters infinitely better. But have you ever been eating them, like, at a table and, like, the aphrodisiac things happened? Because they say that that's a thing, right? That you
that's
eat an oyster and, like, it's like you're feeling
has that ever happened to me?
After?
Like, did I get a... Like physically,
have you been sharing?
Happen?
Yeah, I've never had that happen to me, but I just
no,
hear that it's always supposed to happen.
That's why.
Is it?
Yeah,
see, I don't know.
Yes, it's like propagated by the same like jewelry store,
big
the diamond
it's big,
industry.
It's
like you need to spend 5 years of your salary to get a diamond, otherwise you're a piece of garbage. It's like no, oysters are going to make you get all
pearls
horny.
Came
so
from clams.
That's how you get people, dumb dudes, to buy them on dates.
that's such garbage. No, people just genuinely like the taste of oysters. Like when they put that big tray with all
so
that ice
good.
In there, and then they've got the that horseradish that you can mix in. Oh,
yeah,
you
gotta put
right
horseradish and hot sauce on there.
Oh yeah,
so
oh yeah.
No, they taste buttery
on anything. Yeah. It tastes
oh,
delicious.
Tastes like butter. Mm-hmm. No, they taste like butter.
It's not all
so good.
Snotty.
My nipples
big old
are hard
right
now. Oh yeah.
Please leave a message.
Spending 5 years salary on you.
Shut up.
How clean are you in regards to your tech? I'm only asking because my laptop is the dirtiest thing I own, but it still runs fine. I just never clean it.
Message deleted.
There's sometimes, because you don't really think about it, or at least I don't, right? Where you don't think about how clean your computer is, and then you'll sometimes, especially with laptops for me or iPads, they'll be like the sun will just catch it exactly right, and you're like, oh, God, I'm a filthy animal. What is wrong with me? Mother of God. Then you clean it off, and it just looks so good when
smudged.
It's clean. Yeah,
oh,
but you didn't realize.
Smudged.
Smudged.
Why, might need a wipe, wipe.
Why do you clean it with mayonnaise? That's just such a strange way of doing it. But, yeah, no, it's I'm with you. Like, the computers get pretty nasty pretty quick.
When was the last time you opened up your computer case to look in there and see how much dust is inside of your computer
Ew,
case?
Never.
Should I?
Don't do it.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, probably. You should probably be cleaning your computer case, your tower, whatever, like once a year at least.
Once a year?
What are you talking about?
Well, I haven't.
What do you mean, what am I talking about? Because otherwise, your fans slow down and your performance gets worse. Everything overheats. You need a good constant airflow in your computer tower.
I have a Mac. I don't open my tower. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Dave. There's still probably so much dust inside of there.
Oh, my God.
It probably looks like the scene from Scarface, but instead of a beautiful beautiful white mountain of cocaine, it's a nasty brown hill of dead human skin.
Well, it sounds like somebody is being paid off by Big Computer Duster over here. That's what that sounds like.
Big cocaine. No,
please leave a message.
Keyboard cleaner.
After the tone.
So it was pretty funny yesterday. I was following along with Twitch and another guy I was attempting to talk to while listening to you guys. So what the hell are you doing, man? Something must be pretty important. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm just listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. And he goes, those guys are idiots. And I said, you used to listen to them when you had your radio on in your shop. And he's like, yeah, and? I said, well, you're wrong. They're not idiots. They're funny idiots, and I love them.
Message deleted.
I mean, he's not wrong.
I mean, you're not like, we're not curing cancer over here.
No, but we're funny idiots sometimes.
Speak you know, for we, yourself, we what we what we're idiot. Trying to do.
I beat you, and are you smarter than a community college dropout? I at least have some wrinkles in this brain. No. Excuse me. I am offended.
You need to accept it because this is
no.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So this is interesting. Twitter is now exploring a subscription model. And when I first heard about this, and it's been kind of kicked around for a while, I was vehemently opposed to it. I thought it was the dumbest idea ever. And now I'm just not so sure. I'm not so sure that this is a terrible idea because, you know, we talk about this a decent amount on the show because it's a very real part of really everyone's lives. I mean, Twitter has become a bit of a cesspool, right? All social media has. In fact, the idea of paying for social media when it's been free for so long has been something that most people have opposed. But considering that there's specifically on Twitter so many fake accounts, so many bots out there.
Like 80% of it is bots, man.
Doing a subscription-based model all of a sudden makes a lot more sense, right? Because you go, okay, well, if I actually want to hear real discourse from real people and it's not just these bots that are, you know, retweeting the same thing or posting the same thing and acting like they're people, but they're also really terrible to other humans when they're not actually people that are associated with each account. It's like, we pay for everything else, right? If I'm paying for, you know, $15 a month for Showtime that I almost never watch unless there's a new season.
Streaming networks.
Right.
Stars. It's like pay for Stars. Who watches Stars?
Right. It's
What's
like
we're, on Stars.
We're paying for all this crap that we don't use anyhow. So Twitter is something that I actually do use very regularly, kind of all day, every day. And so the idea of paying for Twitter, I don't hate it anymore. A while ago, I hated it. I don't hate it anymore.
Me either. I hate Facebook still. I would get rid of Facebook. I would pay them to get rid of my Facebook and pay to have a subscription for Twitter.
Yeah. I'm on the opposite end of that. Like, I mean, I don't want to pay. I'm not going to pay for Facebook. I'm not going to pay for Twitter. I'm just not going to use them. You know, I have found myself less and less and less and less using Twitter. You know, I muted so many accounts, unfollowed so many different ones. People who are constantly posting stuff that is just garbage. I've tried to remove all of that from all of my social media, and it's become a better place, but I still find myself using it less and less and less every single day that goes by for me, just because I don't believe that it's real. I don't believe that these opinions, that there's all these armies of people that are out there that are having all these horrible things happen to them constantly, and that the world is just the world's biggest piece of garbage. Like, if like I go out in public and I see what's going around, like, generally everybody gets along for the most part, you know? Like, there are bad things that happen, but overall, most of us can exist peacefully out in public. But when we get behind a keyboard, we get behind our phone, you know, that's when all this garbage comes out, and it's fueled by fake accounts that, you know, I honestly, you know, you asked me the other day if I believed in conspiracy theories. I do believe that there are plenty of like psychological operations going on from other countries happening against the United States and our social media, because it's just sowing discord, making us want to hate our neighbor when I don't need to hate my neighbor. I could just ignore him and live my my life heavily.
Totally exists. Think Speak exists on Twitter for sure. It's an echo chamber to some extent. But I mean, if you go through on your profile and you change it to chronological order instead of top trending, you'll be able to get like who you actually want to follow.
No,
up
it's
at the
always
top.
I've always done that. You know, it's just gross. You know, and so That's for me personally. Everybody can live their life, but like for me, I don't need the stress of something that really isn't real in front of me.
That's important for you to know too. Like to take the step to like understand that that's something that's not necessarily like a trigger, because that's kind of a bad connotation.
It's just not real.
But you understand that, and a lot of people don't. They get on social media and believe
like,
that's true.
Like you, like
that's the whole thing
like,
is
with the
subscription model though, is that
there's
a lot less
they've
fake accounts.
They've done too much to ruin our country and to ruin, you know, there's so much that's gone, and they've just tried to squeeze every nickel out of advertisers and users and all this. I'm not going to reward them for the bad behavior and creating this horrible thing that's done really a lot of damage to the psychology of our country. So they're not getting a nickel from me.
You think it's Twitter? You think it's Twitter's fault?
Because they could ban those bots real easy, and they choose not to.
I mean, I feel like they've been actually recently making a decent amount of efforts to clean up a lot of that stuff.
But what's happened over the last 13 years, you know, that Twitter's been around, you know? So it's, you know, and same with Facebook and same with all of them, you know? It's all gross.
So Tesla, even though they're making money hand over fist right now, they're only paying half of their $700,000 a month rent on one of their showrooms in New York. Here's the thing, man, is that, look, there's a lot of companies out there that are struggling right now. There's a lot of companies that aren't able to pay their bills, and they are in dire straits of not being able to survive. Tesla has plenty of money. Their stock has been on fire. Pay your damn bills, man. Because when they don't pay, it leaves somebody else holding the bag, right?
Well, I mean, the landlord. Yes, for sure. But you gotta think of how many other companies they're just doing this because they can. Same reason that the cheesecake factories, you know, a few months ago when this all came about, decided like, yeah, we're not gonna pay our rent for these next couple of months. Why? Mm-hmm. Because what else are you gonna do? Who else are you gonna put in here? So it's like, I think it's right? No, but do I understand why they're doing it? Yes.
Yeah.
Because they can.
But I mean, that just leaves the landlord holding the bag.
Yeah,
and they're not the ones that are getting this massive infusion of investor money constantly, whereas Tesla is. Tesla is making tons of money right now. Pay your bills, man. You're leaning into the problem as opposed to being part of the solution. Be part of the solution, Elon.
Well, 'cause they want to take what benefits them the most.
I know, but that's what I mean. It's like it's so selfish. Like, do your damn part.
Yeah, for sure. God.
So Jeffrey Epstein has listed his estate has listed his former home in Palm Beach. Who in the hell is going to buy this place? So, I mean, it's up for sale for a whopping $22 million. Ooh. The mansion, of course, featured pretty heavily in that Netflix documentary that I'm sure pretty much everyone saw, Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich. 6 bedrooms, 7.5 bath, sits on just a tad over 8,000 square feet, so next to nothing when it comes to a lot. But I guess they're including his condo in it as well. Like, man, if I had $22 million, I think this would literally be the last house that I would buy. I mean, you think about how, you know,
you just got to buy the land.
It's nothing, though. Yeah. I mean, it's 8,000 square feet. I mean, the property itself is next to nothing. If this was, you know, 8 acres or something like that, I would get it. But you're right. I mean, you got to bulldoze the place, right?
Isn't it still
right?
Near a beach, though?
I mean, sure. I mean, yeah, it's in Millionaire's Row or Billionaire's Row or whatever they call it down there. It's very exclusive, but it's like finding out that somebody was murdered in the house, only much worse.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
$22 million is way too expensive. It's going to end up, like, depleting, going down to, like, what? We'll say, like, 16 at some point. Somebody's going to be waiting around.
That's what's gonna happen. It's just gonna get knocked down.
You really think that somebody's gonna end up? I mean, people buy haunted houses in people's homes who have been murdered.
I mean, when you're literally right on the beach, you know that land is worth something. That house, they'll just tear the house down, and then they'll just be like, "This wasn't the house that Jeffrey Epstein lived in. This is a brand new house."
I think somebody will live there because
they want to live right there. Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. It's not going to sell for $22 million, but you're right.
I hope they get like $600,000.
No, I hope they get $22 million and then they continue to take that money and give it to the victims of that piece of garbage. That's what I would like to say.
I hope his estate gets sued for every last penny of that. Yep.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Sometimes you just need a little pick-me-up, right? You want to feel good about how things are going, but you're having a hard time. And right now, more than any time, right, there's a lot happening for people where they're feeling a little bit down in the dumps. Well, I have got just the thing for you, Mahoney. How about some wise words from the web?
Dave, this is what we need. We need people who are underqualified, who are pretending to be happier than they are, telling us how we need to live our lives.
Now, granted, these people don't have any qualifications to tell us how to live our lives, and frankly, many of their lives are a little messy, but that's not going to stop them from telling you how you should be living.
You must overcome. Never fear and persevere.
You know, I'm not so sure it's wise you're trying to do this.
Good morning. Coming at you from an approved socially distant location. Share something funny. There's a whole science behind humor and laughter, why it makes us feel good and boosts our mood. When I was younger, my favorite series in Reader's Digest was Laughter is the Best Medicine. So that is this week's challenge. Find something humorous, find something funny, a story that happened to you, share it with your family, share it with your friends, share it with your coworkers. Share the laughter. Until next time, stay strong out there, stay safe, and I'll see you later.
Good morning, Rocket Nation. Coming to you live from the Royster Middle School on this beautiful morning. It's the heart of America. Hey, yesterday was an amazing day. I get almost emotional thinking about it. Let's keep it rocking day by day, every day, day by day, every day. But my two biggest takeaways from yesterday come from, number one, yellow is not my color, okay? Guys, it made me look like 300 pounds heavier. I don't know what's going on in my Hulk Hogan outfit. And my second commentary on yesterday was, what are we teaching our kids in the American education system? About 5% of the kids in that gym yesterday knew who Hulk Hogan was. Come on, parents. Come on, teachers. What are we doing here? All right? Like, what are we teaching our kids? Are we teaching about the adventures of Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, you know, the Macho Man, Randy Savage? Hey, have a great day. Peace out.
We're going to be lions. You know, when a lion is injured, when a lion is bleeding, he licks his wounds and he keeps walking.
Lay hold of him. You lay hold of him. And when that thing tells you to quit, you look at it in his eye and say, I ain't going nowhere. I will break you before you break me.
It doesn't get any better than that, I don't think.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So this isn't really that surprising. 87% of millennials and Gen Zers say that childcare costs affect their decision to have kids. Nearly 9 out of 10 of them, defined as those between 18 and 36, say that the cost of childcare is very or somewhat important in deciding whether or not to have children, according to a new survey of over 3,200 young adults conducted by Gen Forward and Next 100, a progressive think tank startup focused on the next generation of policy. So I'm not surprised, but I mean, Mahoney, this is something, I mean, you and your wife have been kicking this around. Audrey, you and your husband have been talking about it as well. Both having kids, is the cost of childcare something that is a point of conversation for both of you when you're considering it, or not so much?
It has always been a part of the conversation because, I mean, in 2020, right now, it's never been more expensive to have a kid. You know, I mean, if you don't have family in the town or the city that you're living in, like, childcare is going to be a, you know, as much or maybe even more sometimes than your mortgage. You know, depending on if both parents work and how that plays out, you know, I know so many people who've quit their job because they've had a kid because it's cheaper to, you know, it's cheaper to stay at home and not work rather than paying for childcare. So it's I think I'm surprised that it's not 10 out of 10 millennials and Gen Zers that are, you know, having this conversation, because who's that other one that's like, yeah, nah, we're fine.
Nah.
We got plenty of money. It's fine. We don't need to talk about
their
that.
Their parents gave them plenty of money. Mine even goes a step.
Are they just mute? Is that what's going on? Is that why they're not talking about it?
Mine even goes a step closer to that. Having a kid in the hospital, period. Like, that is just such a cost in and of itself. So I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, so once I even get to the hospital, that's when it starts. It's not like after, whenever I'm needing it to have, go to childcare, like just paying for diapers whenever you're in the hospital is an arm and a leg. So I'm
It's expensive.
Yeah.
And I mean, Mahoney, you've said many times to your wife while I've even been there, you know, that if you two have a kid, quote, I'm not watching that damn thing is what I've heard you say a handful of times. So I imagine that the child care cost for you going to be rather astronomical. I mean, you have a lot of important things that you do during the day after the radio show. You get Call of Duty. I mean, that's
I mean,
I guess it's a different Call of Duty.
My mom lives here, and her dad lives here too. So we got built in childcare on this end.
I like how you have already thought of who you're going to pawn this baby off on.
Oh, my mom, for sure,
for sure, no question.
I'm like, and she's got job security. I do not. So the you know, like when I inevitably get fired, I'm going to be a you know, a stay at home gamer
husband. Yeah, gamer dad.
Gamer dad.
Yeah. So a prototype Ford Mustang Shelby GT 350R sold for a record $3.85 million. So if you guys saw the movie Ford versus Ferrari, this is the vehicle that was actually once driven by Ken Miles, was sold at the auction event in Indianapolis for $3.85 million, which is pretty obscene considering that that actually sold for more than the long-lost 1968 Mustang that featured in the Steve McQueen film Bullet. That actually went for 3.74, so close. This went for even more than that. And when you think about, you know, a car selling for $4 million, a Mustang selling for $4 million in the middle of a pandemic, you're like, man, that is some wild stuff. But almost $4 million bucks.
Classic Toyota Corollas selling for, you know, a couple million.
I do like those guys who roll around town though, and they're in the 84 Civic, and it has the classic rod license plate.
Hell,
you know what I'm talking
it
about?
Does.
You're like, hell yeah, man, that is a classic.
I gotta get this thing smog checked. Get out of here. This is classic.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So how was your vacation ruined or really screwed up? Maybe it was something that you did. Maybe it was something that somebody else did. But what is it that really messed up your vacation? Tanya, with a very expected response here, COVID messed up our first international trip. We got the passports for the first time, Airbnbs, a whole week's trip paid for, and then COVID shut everything down. We were set to leave in April. How many people have had that experience? Mm.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand right now. The my wife and I were going to go to Japan, and that was quickly canceled at the very beginning parts of this whole pandemic several months ago. But it's almost like, what's a vacation anymore? You know, like where can we even go at this point? You know, I mean, internationally we can't go anywhere.
Nope, passports don't work anymore.
When we just thought this was going to be like a couple weeks thing, and Mahoney, I remember you being like, "Yeah, like we're just going to wait and see if it, like everything clears up." This was like May.
Yeah, we did.
Do you
know?
Like,
it was March. We started. March
when Carnival Cruise Lines was taking victory laps because their bookings for August 1st cruises were 600% higher than the year before, and we're like, yeah, of course everything's going to be fine by August 1st. Yeah, here we are. Lisa said a bear ate all of our food the first night at our trip in this area outside of Lake Tahoe. We had to pack up and just go home.
Bears do not mess around, man.
Dang, man. I mean, have you seen some of those videos that obviously we were talking about that one the other day of the bear just like punching in the front door of that cabin? But there was one that was floating around, I want to say a couple of months ago, of the bear actually walking up to the... It was like an old Toyota 4Runner and opening the door to the 4Runner and getting inside of the truck. And you're like, man, you're right. The bears do not mess around.
How
Carrie
do they know
said,
how to open a door?
I know. Carrie said, my husband had an allergic reaction to antibiotics on our honeymoon. I thought he was going to die. We were in the most beautiful resort in Oregon on the Rogue River, and he could barely hold himself up. We just booked our room there for next year, hoping to get it right this time. Fingers crossed.
Was it antibiotics or was it gas station dong pills?
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Got to be careful with those.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, Mike said, I was very upset when I was a kid. It turns out it's not really that big of a deal in hindsight. But my brother took a poop in the pool and we couldn't swim anymore. They found his turd floating and it ruined our vacation.
No!
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So what ruined your vacation? Or maybe just really screwed it up. Maybe it didn't totally ruin it, but this one from TF, false advertising on an apartment led my husband and I to believe that we'd booked a one-bedroom for our honeymoon, and we didn't find out until we checked in that it was a two-bedroom apartment, and they booked the other bedroom to another couple throughout our week-long stay.
Oh no!
How do you consummate? So, are you even actually married at this point? Like, isn't that the?
You got, I mean, it, you can, yeah, you have like to go and null it. It becomes a competition at that point.
That's fair.
Or not?
That is so awful, man. That is so awful.
Yeah, that
on your honeymoon, really, nonetheless. Yeah,
that's why. That is why our wives, Dave, do not put us in charge of that.
Yep. Treasurer said something that's maybe not quite as bad, but still pretty annoying. Treasurer said, I chipped my front tooth while we were in Paris. I look like an American hillbilly.
Oh, can you imagine smiling, trying to hit on some beautiful French women or men, and is like, just smiling with a no tooth.
You're like, hi, I'm from America.
And I feel like that's what they believe we look like, too, right? Yeah. Just like, toothless.
You need to just have a banjo music playing on your phone in your pocket everywhere you walk. Which I will say, the banjo gets a bad rap. The banjo,
yeah,
hell of a musical instrument. That harmonica, anytime I hear those playing, I could listen to it all day long.
Lori said a big name bank deducted two mortgage payments 10 days before our one payment was supposed to go through. We were overdrawn on vacation in the Pacific Northwest. Thankfully, we had a credit card that covered us, but man, it put a damper on the trip.
Ooh.
Well, you know what I was recently finding out about, which I didn't know that some banks did this, that they don't deposit your checks in the order that they receive them so that you will purposely overdraw your account.
Oh.
That's so evil.
Dude, I mean, that is insane. And so it's already, if your account's low, they're just looking to squeeze even more money out of people who don't have money. So there's been a couple states that have passed laws to prevent that from happening, that they have to deposit the checks in the order that they receive them.
Oh,
so,
no.
Why, but like, yeah, man, like what a nightmare on your honeymoon. Oh.
Brooks said, for my birthday last November, my husband and I planned a trip to San Diego, which included all of the awesome romantic stuff, horseback riding on the beach. The day we were supposed to leave, my mom had what we thought was a stroke, turned out to be a bacterial infection in her heart, needed 6 weeks of 24/7 antibiotics infusion. We rescheduled for March of this year, and then, well, y'all know the rest.
Oh, no.
But the good news, sounds like your mom, obviously.
Mom's okay, yeah.
Yeah, that is the good news on that. And I'll tell you this, as a man who's ridden on a horseback on a beach, really not that romantic.
If we envision that for a moment.
It more hurts your inner thighs than anything else. And like,
Audrey,
did you
ever see the picture of Mahoney riding the horse?
No.
Oh my God. There's footage of it, and the look of despair in the horse's eyes as Mahoney is riding shirtless, mind you, on the back of
shirtless.
It with I think a floaty around his waist. Didn't you have something weird?
They made me put a floaty on, but we were down in Jamaica pre-quarantine, and this was like my wife and I were on a cruise, and we decided to do the horseback riding as an excursion. And the problem was, so we get there, and then they're like, they start like segregating us into like different little groups, and it's like one big group. Well, there's like 50 people over there, and then there's like one small group, and it's just me and like two other guys.
Let me guess.
If you look at me and the other two other guys, yeah. We are rather on the, we are large men. And so they had to get like the big war horses out to carry our fat asses. And I get on the horse and he's just like, oh, God. Oh, what have I done? No. I've made a huge mistake.
I should have gone to horse college. Oh.
I should be driving. Horse Uber was a mistake.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So what really screwed up your vacation? And we're getting all sorts of responses from people on social media, including on Instagram. And this one is pretty awful. Landed in Mexico City. Our connecting flight was to Acapulco. Turns out that airline went out of business that day.
Oh, no.
What?
What?
So how does that even happen?
So you're just standing there. You're like, what? Do I get a refund? Is there any other flights?
Can I go
what
home?
Do I?
Yeah.
Eric also on Instagram said both of my brothers got arrested in Mexico and then kicked out of the resort they were staying at. Yeah, I would say that's going to put a damper on the old holiday. The idea of going to jail in any foreign country is my worst nightmare. Doesn't that just sound awful?
They have a show that's about that. It's called Locked Up Abroad, and it is horrifying.
They don't get out for years, for majority of the time, and tortured in some instances. Oh, yeah.
In some of those prisons, when you try to escape, if you get out, they just bring you back and give you no additional jail time. That's how bad those prisons are. They're like, we totally understand you tried to get out, but come on, get back in here.
Get back in here. Oh, God.
Justin said, I got hit by a bus near while on my vacation trying to grab my luggage to catch a train. Could have been worse, though. I still caught the train. Good for you. I mean, if you had enough time to get hit by a bus and then get up and still catch the train, you probably had enough time to just, like, look both ways before crossing the street. I don't know. Glad you're all right, though. Kyle, our former coworker, Kyle, said, my wife's passport was 2 years expired. As we learned this, we were getting off the plane in Grand Cayman to start our honeymoon. So that happens to a lot of people is if you board a plane, here in the United States, and then you fly to wherever it is that you're going, they don't check your passport necessarily on the state side of things. It's whenever you get to the location. And so if you don't check your passport, sometimes you'll get to a location and they'll look at the passport and say, hey, your passport's expired. You have to turn around and go home.
I mean, like, if you are traveling internet, I mean, I get that, there's a lot of stuff that goes into traveling that, you're thinking about a lot of other things. But how do you not check literally the most important thing on being able to get into the country or not with a valid passport?
I mean, I guess if you're in the middle of getting married and everything else and you're busy, you have a passport, but you don't even think about when it's going to expire. Yeah, it's tough. Julie said, my fiance, we went to SeaWorld, very excited about it, and my fiance dropped our tickets in the ocean.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's the whole trip. You can reprint them, though, right? Or is it just like I guess not if you bought them on, if you didn't buy them online. How does that work? Can you get credited back?
Chris said, traveling to Hawaii with 15 family members, never again in all caps. Trying to get that many people to agree on any activity was hell on earth. Parents wanted us all to stay together every day, but nobody would make a final decision on what to do. If you have a group that size, you have to have the one kind of hyper planner. You know what I'm talking about? The person that sets the agenda, if you will, because otherwise there is nothing worse. Just like in all of our lives on a day-to-day basis, when you ask your significant other what they want for dinner, and then you sit there and just rattle off things that they say that they don't want. And that times 15 in a place like Hawaii just sounds, you're right, like a total nightmare.
Well, I feel like that's on you, though. I mean, you should know better than to travel with 15 members of your family with nobody in charge.
Yeah.
Like, or not having a rubric of what's going to happen while you're there. I mean, that sounds like a nightmare. Like, I mean, can you even traveling with just like friends, like one or two other couples? It's like it's hard enough, but let alone 15 people who you're related to. Nah,
the worst.
I'm good.
Bonnie said, when I was young many years ago, my family did a road trip with a camper from Michigan to Florida. The car broke down. We had to spend a night in a motel room. My parents, me, and my two sisters. The room was infested with grasshoppers. When we did camp, I got poison oak, got sick, and peed the bed that I shared with my older sister. Ah, the good old days.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So when I drink, I smoke. My wife hates it, but guess what? I don't smoke a damn cigarette when we're at home by ourselves or whatever. But when I drink, I have the urge to smoke. I don't know if it's because growing up in Vegas or whatever, gambling, smoking, drinking goes hand in hand. But, yeah, I could be at home for days, not doing anything, no smoke. As soon as I have some drinks, I need a damn smoke, which my wife keeps telling me I was supposed to quit 6 years ago because we had a kid 6 years ago.
Message deleted.
Why is it? It's because your inhibitions start to go down, right? And then you're like, ah, I'll just have a smoke. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, I'll just have another smoke. And then you're like, I'll just go ahead and finish this pack, whatever.
I love a good cigar, and you love a good cigar too. And though, you know, I feel like that's a different category.
Had a black and mild last weekend. Mm-hmm.
Than cigarettes. But there have been two times in the entire time that my wife and I have been together over the years that she has been like irate with me, and you know, just like I knew she was like just done at that point. And one was our good friend John Manley's going away party about 5 or 6 years ago when he was moving to Seattle. I smoked a cigarette at his going away party because I was overserved. And
Hold on, real quickly, that was also the same party where Mahoney took off his button-up shirt and he had his Spanx on underneath his button-up shirt. And he was just walking around wearing his Spanx.
It was a Hanes Power Slim Fit.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing. It's just a Hanes version of Spanx.
Really buff.
No, it did not.
Push my pecs up. It's like a Wonder Bra for dudes.
It was a Wonder Bro shirt. Yeah, it was something. But I didn't realize that you'd smoked a cigarette that night. But that's
yeah. I went outside, went out front with him, and I was like, my buddy's leaving town. Like I gotta, you know,
gotta smoke
and
then a the cigarette other in his honor.
That's right.
And the other time we were in Greece for a friend's wedding.
Yeah.
And I was overserved again by the locals there. And, you know, some Greek folk invited me outside to smoke a cigarette. And I was like, well, win in Rome, win in Greece, you know, smoke in peace. And then, my wife.
So the two times, so what happened there was Mahoney went over and had himself a night. And that was the same evening that you were buying the entire bar of Greek people a shot and rounds of drinks and everything else. But you had such a rip-roaring time that night that, if I remember correctly, you didn't drink at all for the rest of the entire trip, right?
No, we had another like 4 or 5 days in Greece, and I didn't drink at all.
She's fine with you smoking 3 cigars in a sitting, but a single cigarette, that's taking it too far.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave, Mahoney, I know we've all seen that scene in Something About Mary where, you know, that guy got his stuff or whatever stuck up in the zipper. Has that ever actually happened? I mean, has it happened to either of you guys? Maybe I don't have much down there. I'm not sure, but I've never even come close to that. Ouch.
Message deleted.
It's not the twig. It's the berries that gets
right.
You know, in my case.
But wait, has that happened to you before? Because it's never happened to me.
I'm not like full blown like you can't get it down style, but like you get a little nip,
Ooh.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? So I have a very distinct separation of what happens there. So let's say you're going to the bathroom or whatever, and you finish up like
it's when you're drunk.
Know, no, but I mean you put it back into your underwear.
Yeah, but like sometimes things are just there, and you can get it with the like boxer briefs and the zipper.
I'm never so violently ripping my zipper up that
this
it can catch all that
stuff. Why I only
wear
buttonflies now.
No,
jeans, man. I only wear 501 buttonflies.
No, this
is your body, man.
Not even close, man. Yeah, just hold it together.
Yeah, how would that even happen? Like, don't you have to like push it forward in order for it to get into that area?
It's when you're wearing tight
jeans.
It's like when you're wearing tighter jeans. It's not like I'm wearing skinny jeans. I'm just fat wearing old jeans. You know, holding on to those 36s, 38s. You know, trying to get my fat ass in, making some man sausage. You know, it's not great.
Okay, so no for me. Yes for Mahoney. Ian, break the tie here. Have you ever zipped up your nuts?
No, not that particular coin purse, but I have gotten some hair caught in that.
Well, that's different though, right? Because
you just need to get a trimmer.
Yeah, like, also like clean it up down there, man. Like what the hell is happening?
Also, how do you guys get that caught and not everything else?
Yeah. Lord.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I want to know what the worst bet you've ever lost. Maybe it was a fight, maybe it was money, maybe it was a fart.
Message deleted.
Never bet on a fart. That is if you learn anything from this radio show at any point, never bet on a fart. That is the most sage wisdom that we can impart to you. My worst loss, you know, we've talked about this many times. I lost, you know, close to $10,000 in a night playing blackjack.
More like in about 30 minutes.
It was like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, it's only 10?
Yeah. It was like whatever the max is, you know, if you're playing $1,500 a hand.
Yeah.
That wasn't great.
Again, overserved, not his fault.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So, Audrey, all of the hotness this last couple of weeks has been about talking the drama between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And while that is still the case, those two just, I mean, it's an endless pit of back and forth. Jeremy Renner somehow may be taking the cake here. So, Jeremy Renner has had a number of issues with him and his ex-wife. They're going through a really bitter custody battle. Now he's being accused of flying glamorous women to his Reno mansion amid the coronavirus lockdown, partying without face masks, and putting their 7-year-old daughter at risk, his ex-wife claims in new court documents. After posting on Instagram that he was hosting a kid camp, Renner, 49, allegedly entertained several young women at his getaway, shared pictures of themselves wearing T-shirts emblazoned with Camp Renner. No masks, according to the filing. Renner's ex has accused the star of flying back and forth during the stay-at-home orders with their daughter, demanded he take a COVID test. Renner's lawyers say that his daughter was not in Reno while any of the women were there, and claimed that the ex is repeatedly seeking to allege that there's child custody issues as a means to seek more money from Renner, when really that's just not acceptable. The former actress, who is 29, added a searing statement filed in the Superior Court in Los Angeles on Wednesday, saying that he had failed to provide evidence of drug tests he had agreed to take after previously getting accused of being drunk and high. The court documents also lodged as part of the bitter years-long custody battle following their split. Renner has always denied any wrongdoing, argues that he is a safe and loving father amid a slew of claims in the court filing of more than 350 pages. His ex said that he violated the couple's custody agreement to not publish pictures of their daughter by posting music videos online featuring her and letting HGTV producers film her during the shooting of a reality show that he was starring in. The reason why I hate this is because he has, you know, from what we've seen from Jeremy Renner, he actually is a good dad. And anytime that you've got a custody battle going on and the parents are dragging each other, it is just really, really sad for the kid.
Well, not only that, so obviously this kid is going to have a lot of trauma coming from their parents just not getting along and not coexisting well together as parents, but I have some kind of issue with him not being allowed to be a single guy whenever they're not married together. But with that being said, we're under very certain circumstances where we have a pandemic on our hands, man. Like, you can't just have chicks flying in whenever you're going to be getting your baby girl the weekend after. Like, do what you do, but
he's
maybe like wait
that,
for the
that
vaccine
getting,
that,
that, he has that he has access to. Tests.
No, but you know, I mean, that's Audrey's point, though. I mean,
being famous, you have access to things that things that like you and I do not. Like Jeremy Renner wants to get a COVID test, he can get one.
That's fair.
Yeah, no question about it. But at the same time, it's like, hey, man, if you're gonna do this stuff, and by all means, go for it. If you're a single guy,
especially if you're a relatively newer
single guy, just don't put it on Instagram. Like, what do you put it on
Instagram.
No, I know, but you got to tell the girls that are coming to Camp Renner.
Some douchebag white knight was friends with one of the girls who went to the camp. They don't even know what happened. They just showed pictures from the girl's Instagram, and then the mom gets online and starts trashing Jeremy Renner. It's like, what is going on? Like, because you saw some pictures on Instagram, talk about the nut low of trying to create drama and ruining, you know, trying to just drag your baby daddy or your baby mama through the mud, man. It's just muckraking.
Sad.
It's gross. And you got to be better than that when you have kids and you're famous.
All for custody, too, which is kind of backwards, right? Like, let's fight for custody. Oh, is it? Oh, so
money.
That's even kind of more sad.
Yeah, it's even worse. I mean, she's fighting for full custody because she wants more money. At least the accusation of what Jeremy Renner, and that does kind of check out, right, is that if she gets full custody and, you know, she sucks.
Wow.
I mean,
he
might be acting like a douchebag, too, but at the same time, yeah. Demi Lovato has gotten engaged. The ring is really something, but her and her fiance got together. We don't know exactly how long that they've been together, but about 4 or 5 months, and they're engaged.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this will work out.
Well, I really hope so, because I know that this is kind of like a goofy like pop culture story or whatever with her, and most people don't really care two craps about Demi Lovato, but she has gone through it, and if this does not work out, I see a slippery slope.
But that's the problem, right? Is you're kind of like, man, I hope that that she is.
You can't put your eggs on in a relationship basket and hope that you fix yourself or somebody else.
He seems
can fix
like
you.
A good guy, though. I mean, like he's not like some like douchey doucher.
But why?
Like, she's dated in the past.
Why the rush to get engaged and married? I mean, you guys have been together for like 4 months. Like, just give it, I don't know, a year and see if you still like each other. Like, just let's pump the brakes a little bit. Like, all these celebrities, I don't understand it. Like, we just talked about that story with Jeremy Renner and how awful things have gotten because the state's involved, which is what marriage is essentially, right? You either choose to be together or not. When you get married, the state just gets involved. And so, I mean, is it fun to get married? Is what you said, Mahoney?
No, I'm saying it's fun having the state involved in a relationship.
Mm. But like, just be together. Like, why even get married at this point? Why the rush to run out there and put a ring on it and make a further commitment that's
rich,
not even really that much
no
more of a commitment?
You know? Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
what
or
about...
if somebody's sick or whatever, you know? I mean, I understand, you know, but even then, at that point, you can give people access through lawyers and things like that. The average person, like you and I, we don't, you know, like if we were with our significant others and the point, like we got sick and they needed to have access to make decisions for us. It's like we don't really have the extra, you know, tens of thousands of dollars it would cost to go to a lawyer to get that kind of stuff worked out for us. Whereas being rich, it kind of. You know, that's a non-starter for most of them. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just a weird, impulsive thing. But, you know, wish them the best. But, man, most relationships we know that start off super hot and super fiery end the same way.
Yeah. Well, what about the argument, though, that COVID has made everybody spend way more time together than they would if she was out touring? So maybe she's feeling like this is actually a lot of time spent together that we probably wouldn't have gotten if I was, you know, touring around the country making music.
Audrey, do you know if this
doing
is
shows?
True? Andy on our Facebook said, I followed Demi Lovato on Instagram, and the dude she is engaged to is her third relationship this year.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, just because I think that they actually started. I mean, we're only 6 months in to the,
but
to the year right now.
Let's take a calendar. Right now.
Oh, okay. So I think it's actually maybe her second, because she was with somebody who was with her whenever she was put into
going
the psych hospital. Yeah.
So the thing that worries me, right, is like if this guy really is the one that grounds her and that makes her feel like she's complete and all of those things, like no problem with them doing what's going to make them happy, right? But you would think that if he really was the one that was going to help her get through some really difficult times, that he would be the one that's kind of pumping the brakes and, you know, steadying
slowing
things out. Because like you said just a moment ago, if this does go down in flames, she's probably putting herself in a pretty bad spot to potentially relapse and or have to deal with some of those problems that aren't that far in the rearview mirror. So
well,
it seems a little bit irresponsible
crossed.
On his part.
Because
yeah,
he seems like crossed. A good sober partner, a good sober again, partner for her. I really, really hope that it works out for them. I really do.
Again, this is why it's like it's much better to be rich and not famous. Being famous blows.
Sucks. And finally, HBO Max has reached 4.1 million subscribers 1 month after their launch. I don't know if Quibi is over here taking notes or not. That's probably already dead and floating in the water. But HBO Max attracted 4.1 million overall subscribers after its first month. So I would say pretty successful launch for HBO Max. I mean, obviously, HBO has already had a lot of subscribers for a very long time. But 4.1 million in the first month is impressive stuff. So HBO over here is still killing the game. And honestly, when it comes to premium content, I can't think of anyone better. Like when a show makes it to HBO, you go,
well,
yeah, man, that's going to be a good show.
Not just HBO, but the HBO Sunday night show. That is, I mean, as long as I can think, you know, you had The Sopranos for many years. You had Six Feet Under. There's been so many. I mean, obviously Game of Thrones was, you know, a monster hit. And now Perry Mason on Sundays on HBO.
Another phenomenal show.
I want a season two, man. I'm trying to get the word out. But there's some actually a lot of, like, you know, Day for You with your young kids. There's some good stuff on there. There's the Not So Late Show with Elmo and the rest of Sesame Street. They're making new episodes on there as well. I believe they're bringing back Fraggle Rock also.
Are they really?
Yes. And then there's going to be What is it? A lot of the old Looney Tunes. So they've got a new rendition and a new new series of Looney Tunes as well. So a lot of family-friendly programming on HBO Max, which you might not necessarily think was there, but it is. So I'm all for HBO, man. I think it's the best programming platform on you know, out there right now, you know.
Until and look decide at to change quality. The app.
And look at this, Mahoney. Odd One said Perry Mason is so good. So now there's two of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So, Mahoney, you are an aficionado when it comes to ordering food through the online apps, and I've been a big fan of that over the years as well. But I have a cautionary tale that I feel like I should share live on the air. Because I had...
What happened?
Arguably the worst experience that I've ever had. And we've had some bad experiences, you know, with Postmates where they're going, they'll have like six orders that are dropping off.
Postmates
and just sort of like,
sucks.
Yeah, Postmates is the worst. But I've always been a big...
Them and DoorDash are the nut low.
Yeah, but I've always been a big fan of Uber Eats, and I've talked a lot about how much I like Uber Eats and the service is good and everything else. I've never really had a problem where I've had to reach out to their customer service. But last night, so I ordered some food, and it was from a local tapas place, Firefly, that I like a lot. I've never even seen them on the app before, and so I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. They're on the app, so I'll go ahead and order the food. And so I placed the order, and everything was fine, and it was about, you know, 35, 40 minutes, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to check and see where my food is. And when I opened the app, it said, "Error, your order did not process." And I'm like, oh. Yeah, because it was already getting late.
Already
and so you'd sat there and waited for it and everything else. And so I'm like, well, whatever. Like, we're still hungry. We obviously have a vacation coming up. So the wife's, you know, busy doing stuff. We're not going to, like, stop down and start the process of cooking a meal or something like that. So I'm like, I'll just reorder it, whatever. Just deal with the fact that it's going to take another 45 minutes or whatever. And right after I place the order again, I get a random phone call and I ignore it. And then I go back to the app to make sure everything had gone through, because again, previously the order had said it hadn't gone through. And I get a message saying, hey, what's the gate code? Well, as it turned out, even though it said the order didn't go through on the first one and there was never a driver tracking showing where they were along the way, the order did go through. And so the problem is that when I went in there to cancel the second order, it had already been more than 5 minutes. And so Uber Eats went ahead and charged me $70 for the second order. And I reached out to their customer service and they're like, yeah, sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. The restaurant already started making the food. So here's the thing. If the only thing that Uber Eats does is offer the technology to connect me and, say, the restaurant, you don't do anything else, right? You're not paying the drivers. You're not paying the restaurant. You're just tacking on service fees because you have a piece of technology that works. When the technology doesn't work, it's on you, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And they just keep copying and pasting this policy of their 5-minute cancellation policy every time that I
try to a person. Yeah, that's the problem.
Is they just sit there and just copying and pasting it. So
I don't even think it's copy and paste. I think it's just an auto reply.
No, it's because the first sentence is, we understand how frustrating this can be. Well, first off, thank you for patronizing me, Uber Eats,
right.
But also
this.
This one's on you. So Uber Eats, I would just cautionary tale. Their technology sucks.
Did you get a second meal, or did the second meal come?
Nope. Nope.
So they just charged you
twice.
Wait,
so you can't even
charge
me
twice. In the wound.
That's where I draw the line. If I would have got two meals, I'd have been okay with it.
It didn't even tell me. I mean, I didn't want two meals. I know that you'd be down for it. But, I mean, I didn't even want the second meal.
When
I went to cancel it, it didn't even say, hey, you realize that you're going to be charged for this food, and it's not going to show up, right? Because otherwise, you're right.
That's
I just would have gotten the second meal.
Did you take this to Twitter, sir?
No,
it's not going to do anything.
Not yet.
So
I mean,
this is
I'll care for you. Let's go.
This is why I tell you, Dave. When it comes to, because I've used all these, as you know, I'm a fat, lazy piece of garbage. So I've extensively used all the food delivery services, and I will tell you, Grubhub is by and far the best one out of all of them, because when you do have a problem like this, you can actually, you know, you go through the app, you go through their, you know, their issue process, and you can get connected to somebody if you want. You can either do it online or you can talk to somebody directly. And being able to talk to somebody directly in 2020 is such
amazing.
Like that should be the standard of customer service. But like when a company makes it hard for me to try to complain or to try to, you know, get my Karen on, like I want to talk to a person. I don't want to talk to a machine.
I've been a customer for years with Uber Eats and with Uber, and I've never had a problem. I've never complained about anything.
Yeah.
And now this is going to happen. Like, screw you guys.
Hello,
boycott.
Lyft.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So the $14 million demon statue at the Palms Pool is gone. So Damon Hirst is the one that made that huge 60-foot-tall statue, and the centerpiece of the very short-lived Chaos nightclub has been yanked. So evidence of the giant art piece's departure, it's gone. So there was pretty massive development in the arts community. Palms owners Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta, prominent art collectors, and among the top 200 in the country when it comes to art news publications. But the brothers say that they didn't say, because they haven't come out and put anything publicly out about it. But the demon with the bull statue finished in just not too long ago, obviously, reportedly worth $14 million. And the fact that they had to get rid of it, and the rumor is that they actually had to melt it down, is just kind of crazy, right?
No, they didn't melt that thing down. There's no way.
That's right. So it was the original art piece, right? Because they talked about making
it's worth $14 million. Like,
who's going to buy a used demon statue
with a big old?
But it's
bang
probably
bang
worth more than like melting it down. Like, what are you going to get for?
Well,
that.
So
I
don't know if that's maybe part of the agreement, though, right? Because it was the original. So they talked about making a replica, and then they decided to buy the original and have it shipped over. And with art like that, I don't know if they're allowed to sell it on a secondary market, if they'd even get anything for it, or if they just go, you know what, this one's a wash. We've already lost how many millions of dollars on the Palms? But I thought the demon statue was kind of cool.
They should have kept it. I thought that was a great centerpiece out
but
there.
But aren't they changing that into like a kids area, though? I don't really know how that would play out.
Are they changing that into a kids area?
That was a rumor a while ago. Who knows? There's so many rumors circulating that place. I feel like it's hard to weed through the mess.
It just sucks. Palms, I love the Palms. I think the Palms
are
the best.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The
Pearls.
You know, after the renovation, I thought they did a phenomenal job.
That was
my favorite place to go in town. Yeah, love it. And hopefully they're able to open back up before too long. And because some of those restaurants over there, I mean, Green Street's great, but the Venti Cucina on the top of the tower, the Scotch 80 Prime, there's such good restaurants over there. So
Side Piece Pizza was great.
Clark County has added, again, over 1,000 new cases of COVID-19 in a single day. The good news, if you can take any good news out of this, is that the deaths are down. So where we were the last couple of days is like 20-plus deaths a day for the last couple of days. So we're north of 40,000 cases now. So the cases are increasing pretty quickly, and 1,328 is the total count that came in yesterday. The day before that, it was 1,159. Previous to that, 798. But there's been a lot of days here where we're north of 1,000, even knocking on the door of 1,500, and unfortunately yesterday was one of those days. But again, the good news is that the deaths have come down significantly from the 31 and 24 the previous 2 days, all the way down to 5 deaths yesterday, which is still a lot and still sucks, but I mean it's a huge improvement for where we were the previous couple of days. So the hospitals aren't full here. It's unfortunate with everything that's going on, but
We've seen, though. I mean, I saw, you know, we've got a couple of healthcare providers who are listeners, and they say they're working overtime like crazy, that their hospitals are busy, you know. So I don't know if those numbers that are coming out are necessarily reflective or accurate, you know, if we're hearing, you know, from people who are, you know, on the front lines. So it's getting scary. It really is, you know. I'm like, I'm to the point where I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere at this juncture. Like, this is getting, I mean, everybody, like, I mean, thank God that, you know, I mean, Audrey and her husband, who, you know, they recovered. But I mean, like, how many people do we know personally now who have been affected by COVID? I mean, I'm at almost 20 in the Valley, you know, and luckily nobody that we've known personally has passed away, but we've had a couple friends who've been in comas. You know, which is really scary, and had to be on, you know, who had to be on respirators
and,
as well. Yeah.
And everything else. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are recovering too, which is also worth noting. So yesterday there was about, you know, 1,300 cases, and there was more recoveries than that. So the recoveries, even though there's a lot of cases right now, people are still, most people are making it through. But Audrey, you're the one that has firsthand experience with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, if now that you are past it, are you feeling totally confident to go out and enjoy life as you would?
Yeah, no, I truly do, just because for me personally, kind of like Mahoney just said, that my husband and I, we didn't have it on a scale of some people who have been in comas and on, you know, respirators. Like, we had it to where it was so, not necessarily minor, it was tolerable. I don't feel fear going out. I don't feel that I'm going to be able to get it again because we just don't know. And I also think that we're reaching this point with these numbers that it's not the flu. I'm not saying that, but it's as contagious as the flu. So it's not if, but when you're going to get it. So just being safe when you're out. My husband and I, we only really went to the grocery stores when gyms opened. I went like twice, you know, and home. We didn't really surround ourselves by a lot of people. We wear masks, you know, we're really conscious by wiping down our groceries. And I'm not saying that to scare. I'm just saying that's the reality of it. We were safe and we still got it. So, you know, yeah. Kind of living in this fear and, you know, creating this bubble, I feel like it's only really going to make you have just this like imminent anxiety to breach yourself back out and waiting for this vaccine, you know, that's a start. But when is that going to happen? Are we just going to hole up until that happens?
They say it could be the, you know, towards the end of the year, maybe next year early on. But I mean, that's all if
school we still have coming out,
a lot of testing like, to do. And I mean, one of the things that's worth mentioning is, you know, the other side of things here is the economic impact. Sands reported in quarter two, a 97.1% drop in revenue. Isn't they that insane?
That's insane.
And you got to remember, Sands hasn't made any cuts yet. You know, they are continuing to pay people. That's, you know, the one place in town that really has done everything right, you know, for the last year, and are continuing to pay their people and keeping the lights on. And, you know, we heard, what was it, last week that they were going down to, the Venetian was going down to only weekend bookings, I believe. So, you know, that's a crazy number the Palazzo Tower. But when you hear numbers like that, that's scary. You know, I mean, you think about the economic future of the city and man, this is the beginning.
It's a lot of bobbing and weaving through the scenarios, like dipping your toes into like what we're comfortable in actually starting and reimmersing ourselves in and what we're not.
I think the, you know, what we will see, though, you know, we have seen how resilient Las Vegas is. You know, I mean, those of us who lived through here with the real estate crisis and the recession and, you know, for the, you know, that was basically a decade long. You know, I mean, we came out strong and, you know, this is something that obviously nobody could foresee, but I feel like it's going to bring the community close together, you know, and it's something that we can all have like a shared experience over. And, you know, when we are clear of this, we'll be like, we can handle whatever.
Yep. 2020 is going to be a weird year to look back on, man. It really, really is.
We'll remember this one. Like, I don't remember Jack from, like, 2006. Do you? I don't remember anything from 2006.
I mean, I remember how bad it got in, you know, 2008, 2009.
No, it's 2006. Yeah.
Oh, when things were good? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When things were good, we don't remember anything.
Yeah.
Good is relative. My makeup choices were terrible.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's where Ian takes some of our not-so-fine moments, puts them together in the blooper reel, and Audrey hates this so much.
What are you talking
Mahoney
about?
I
love it. It's my favorite.
We're dead inside, so it doesn't bother us when we hear all of our screw-ups strung together and aired back. Yeah, it's a lost art for us. But Audrey, still young and full of hope. Until this moment every week. It's an all-new blooper reel.
It's the that's the blooper reel.
Authorities have taken a Michigan woman into custody.
I knew it was a famous movie quote. I just didn't know it was from Half Baked. I knew it was a famous movie quote.
You ask why the earth is mad at us. It's because we continue to do stuff like this. If you are afraid, if you're hiding behind somebody, a false avatar, anonymity.
How do you say that word,
Mahoney? What a loser.
Anonymity.
Anonymity?
Anonymity.
Anonymity.
False avatar, anonymity.
Anonymity?
Keep it in your pants.
What we have to do.
Everybody wear your promise ring now. Come
on. She was clean, I swear.
Everybody wear your promise ring now.
Scandinavia is not a country, right? That's Sweden. That's an ethnicity.
A what?
An ethnicity.
No. Ethnicity.
Whoa, you're so cute.
That's what I said.
No, it's not. Say it again.
Ethnicity. That's an ethnicity.
an ethnicity.
Everybody wear your promise ring round. False avatar. Anonymity. Stuff like this. That's an ethnicity. An ethnicity stiff like this.
I knew it was a baby move.
Have taken a Michigan woman into custody. Ethnicity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So the president of the Philippines, can we just decide right now, can we just go ahead and plant the flag that people that are a president of a country should not necessarily be giving out medical advice to people because that is
doctors.
Maybe the people that actually have studied this their entire life. I don't know. Just a thought, because the president of the Philippines came out this week and his people had to swiftly correct him because he said he wrongly advised residents to disinfect their face masks with gasoline. He suggested the highly flammable substance as a suitable substitute for cleaning supplies during a speech on Tuesday. At the end of the day, hang the mask somewhere and spray it with Lysol if you can afford it. For people who don't have Lysol, drench it in gasoline or diesel, and that son of a bitch COVID won't stand a chance. I'm quoting here. He actually said this. And that son of a bitch COVID won't stand a chance. Just find some gasoline and dip your hand with the mask in it, the president said.
So then you're just huffing gasoline and you're going to be high walking around. What in the world? Yeah, who puts these people into power? That person is a person who tells other people what to do in the name of a country oh my God, I can't.
I mean, this is also the same guy who thinks that like being gay is a sin and a crime and, you know, like all this other horrible, dumb, bigoted stuff. So
stop
I'm not shocked that he's throwing this out.
Can we stop electing
he's
idiots?
Gasoline.
Jesus. Like, what is
he
going
says
on
he
here?
He cured himself of being gay.
That makes
that's
sense.
That's how that works.
Okay. Yeah.
That's how that works.
Okay.
Did he dip himself in gasoline? Like, what? How? So a 25-year-old guy from Long Island was waiting to be sentenced after he found out that he was guilty for, you know, driving a stolen Lexus and trying to steal a truck. What of it? He wanted to avoid jail, so he decided, I'm going to fake my own death. So he got his fiance to feed his lawyer a fake death certificate saying that he'd killed himself, and it looked so real the lawyer actually submitted it, but there at the bottom it said that it was the Office of Vital Statistics and Registry, and he spelled registry wrong. And so
it's a tough one.
Yeah,
I want to know how he spelled it. I want to know
how do you spell registry, Audrey? Go
hang on, let me get a pen.
No, you did it in your head.
R-E-G Regis. Oh my God, Regis, E-S-T-A-R-Y? I don't know. That's off the dome.
Nope, you're going to jail too. No, it's I-S-T-R-Y. He accidentally put the S before the I, so somebody realized it was fake. The cops quickly tracked him down. Turned out he'd fled the state, but he was arrested in Philadelphia for theft and given cops a fake name. He was actually already in jail in Philadelphia. It was just under a fake name because he gave the cops a fake name. Now he's facing those charges, his original charges, plus 4 more years in prison for the death certificate stunt. So kick ass.
That's all you get? For faking your own death is 4 years?
I mean, I guess 4 more years, but yeah.
And stealing a Lexus, Dave. Don't forget that.
Yep, and a truck. So finally, in Roswell, Georgia, a homeowner caught a man peeing into his home a few weeks ago.
Tony.
Lionel Hamilton, the homeowner, saw the man in his home surveillance system. The man can be seen using a ladder to gain access to the roof of the house. He called the police before confronting the man on the roof, who was later identified as a 28-year-old dude named Edwin. The police arrived quickly at the home and began to question Edwin and asked him what he was doing on the roof. Edwin told the police that he was looking for a missing cat. Police charged Edwin with peeping Tom charges. Roswell police do not believe this is the first time that he has been seen peeping on his neighbors, which makes it even creepier. Edwin is a peeping Tom.
Oh, you said peeping. I thought you said peeing.
I thought you said peeing, too. But it makes more sense that a man named Edwin would be peeping into someone's home.
Yeah, so he's a peeping Tom, and
he was peeing on top of the roof. I was like, you got a ladder, you climbed on top of a, you know.
Maybe I did say ping. I meant peeping.
I'll be
your peeping Tom.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
What's your favorite city besides the one you live in? Also, why don't you move there then, you lazy ass? Get that ass up.
Message deleted.
I mean, there's a lot of great cities that are around the country. I think part of it depends on the time of the year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember
that
as a kid.
Plays a big part.
Yeah, I mean, the summers in Minnesota for me, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that as far as weather goes. I mean, Audrey, you were just talking about how much you love Seattle when you went up there and visited your dad this past weekend. I love Charleston, South Carolina. It's beautiful, but the dead of summer there, like it's so humid and just takes the energy out of you. So it really just depends on the time of the year. So as far as like a favorite city other than the one that we live in, I don't have an all your favorite city that I like more than Las Vegas.
I love New York in late September, like New York City in late September. We usually go for my wife's birthday. I couldn't live there because I can't live with that many people, but it's probably my favorite city to visit in the U.S. in September.
Nashville, would never live there, but it's awesome to go and like party and have fun. And the weather there, you get all four seasons. It's pretty great. And then Austin also, holy crap. But the only thing about Austin is that so many people are moving there and their roads were not prepared for it. So
and
you could
humid.
Go from point A to point B. I'm used to humid though, so that doesn't really bother me. But you have to take what would usually take you about 45 minutes to get to and from. It's like a 2-hour drive now. It's kind of in combatants to LA, I feel like, as far as just like too many people in too small of an area and not enough road systems.
Paisley in the chat said San Diego, if it was affordable. I mean, basically all of Southern California. I mean, the reason why so many people want to live there
Coast
is because the weather is so amazing. It's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But it comes at a premium for sure.
Please leave a message
too broke.
After the tone.
Now, I know you guys are not big on being celebrity starstruck and all that, but if you had to choose a celebrity to drink a beer with, who would it be? Mine, it would have to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, I would just like to have a beer with him, sit back and talk about some wrestling with him.
Message deleted.
Yeah, I feel like what
he
just did.
Would you drink it, though? Or you would just crack them together?
Yeah,
right?
you'd grab beer, your beer and crack them together, and then you'd just be like,
it'd be the quickest beer drank.
Yeah. Or you would get a sip of your beer.
Stag said Bill Murray. Like, Bill Murray would be pretty cool to have a beer with. Like, he's an icon, you know? If it's anyone dead or alive, like, think how cool it would be to sit down and have a beer with Robin Williams.
Oh man.
One of the greats. One of the greats. I go, man, it's such a tough question. Because there's so many different things, but like, would you, you know, like, because if you're just when you say having a beer, I feel like that's just like casually hanging out, like you know,
you're broing
really
down,
like,
yeah.
Seductiveness going on? No, you wouldn't try and seduce whoever you were having a beer with. You wouldn't even like go for the
Martha
hottest
Stewart?
Chick that you could think of.
Oh
yeah,
oh, no.
Martha.
No.
She'll get a little wine buzz about her, cook you some brownies.
I would just be quiet. Mm-hmm. I would be too embarrassed. I wouldn't say anything the entire interaction.
You'd just be starstruck.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, how much longer do we have to do this? I really wish this guy hadn't won the charity auction. Is that true? Nick said Stone Cold drinks more wine now than he does beer.
I believe
it. He's elevated.
Yeah. Well, you've seen that photo of him on like a vineyard out back or something, and he just has a very nice bottle, a glass of wine there, and he's just looking so comfortable.
That's so
what
dramatic.
A guy, man. Yeah, I like it.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Audrey, can you explain to me why some people like their nails super long? Doesn't that make literally every single thing you do difficult? I mean, I'm not saying they look bad because they look good. It just seems very, very impractical to me.
Message deleted.
So, I mean, people who actually have really long nails, they tap and type with their knuckles usually, or they'll keep their pinky like kind of small so that they can actually do some stuff like while they're pinkying out. But for the most part, I can't do it because I bite my nails my whole entire life. I've been used to having short fingernails, so I can't even tie shoes with long fingernails. So, I don't know. I mean, everybody's got their own method.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great question from Green Teabagger. He said, how do you wipe with really long nails, though?
You have to really be careful that you don't cut your butthole.
Carefully.
Bidets, that's the...
Cardi B said that she cut her butthole when she was trying to wash her butthole.
Oh, my God.
She cut it open.
You know who I want to have a beer with? The guy who invented the bidet. That's who thought it would be a great idea to shoot just a stream of water straight at the beehole. I want to know what inspired him to come up with that.
I'm not a fan of the long nails at all. I think they look terrible. They're not for me. But I get why some people like them. But if there's anything where they go, hey, this is going to be aesthetically pleasing, you can do it. But the caveat is you might slice your butthole open. It's a hard pass.
Like, lose a rhinestone in there.
Yeah, right?
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I don't know if these are well-earned, but these are well-needed beers that we are going to be consuming today in our week. Weekly craft beer review, beer for breakfast. So glad you guys could all make it and bring beer today. Yes.
If you've had a hard week because you've been taken advantage of by terrible customer service at Uber Eats, or you've just been taken advantage of by a platform that really abuses drivers and local restaurants, maybe you need a beer like I do. I'm sure I'm not alone because Uber Eats is really one of the worst brands that's ever existed. But here we go. Beer for breakfast on a Friday morning. Whether you agree that Uber Eats sucks or not, we all know that they do. But here we go, Mahoney. We are drinking an ice cold beer today from our good friends that are a good brand that know how to take care of their customers and actually have honor in their business, our friends at Stone Brewery.
Stone, one of the greatest brewers. You know, they helped spur the craft beer revolution starting about 20 years ago, and they have done an amazing job. They're out of just outside of San Diego, and they are distributed worldwide now. I mean, they have become one of the strongest brands in America, and the reason is because they continue to make good beer. And the beer that we are featuring today on Beer for Breakfast is the Stone Notorious POG. And if this is one that you haven't heard of or you haven't seen in the stores yet, this is still a pretty relatively new beer in the Stone catalog. It came out about 2 years ago for the very first time. This is a Berliner Weiss, so it's a very light, very refreshing beer that they release usually at the summer. So, like, they've had some releases in June, they've had some releases in July, and this one came at the end of May was when they very first released this beer. So it's a perfect summertime beer, and let's get into it, man. Let's treat ourselves to the beers that we've earned. Audrey's still not drinking along with us with the beer today.
It's all in the folly. I'm pretending.
But she has the world's largest coffee cup, and somebody in chat said, that looks like Audrey's drinking out of a little person toilet. So that almost...
honestly, it's the size of my head.
My toddler does have a toilet that's a little bit smaller than that. It's true.
Body training. We're trying. Yeah.
Boozette in the chat said that Costco actually has a good variety of Stone right now. So they have a variety pack where you can go and get a handful of them. Mahoney, I mean, you know that I'm a huge fan of Stone products. I'd never heard of this, though, until you presented it to me. The thing that I found yesterday is that it can be a little bit difficult to find, though. I mean, this is a product that has been flying off the shelves at a number of places around town. So the fact that we're able to get some of these cold ones in our hands today is pretty exciting. And we do our flavor profile. We go through all five different categories, and that's what we're doing today, right?
That is right, Dave. The five categories in which we rate every single beer for breakfast: look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability are the five categories in which we score every single craft beer that we drink here on Beer for Breakfast. And the Stone Notorious POG is a Berliner Weiss. It has 4.7% alcohol by volume, 20 IBUs. It's available nationwide, and it comes in 12-ounce, a six-pack 12-ounce cans, which I love that it's coming in cans. It also have in tall boys, and they also sell it in the 22-ounce bombers. So it is available in any way you like to drink your beer. And let's take a look at the very first category in Beer for Breakfast, Dave, which is the look. And this thing looks like a hazy orange juice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that thing looks like a glass. You could mistake that for a glass of orange juice. Mm-hmm. With a
which
lot.
Is good.
Look at the head on that beer, though, man. Like, that thing is
very
got some
thick,
creamy head.
Toosies.
Yeah, that's
very fluffy. Very, you know. I mean, the one of the issues when not issues, but one of the things when you do pour a very cloudy beer like this, it's hard to see the carbonation. This is very nicely carbonated, which leads to, you know, I mean, what they are kind of going for at Stone is they are looking for a refreshing, easy to drink summer beer. So you've got about an inch and a half of just that like pillowy, fluffy white head that just looks so inviting that you know you're gonna get that little beer head mustache on your upper lip, and you're gonna feel so good about when you're drinking it. So let's
big boy.
Let's move on to the next category, Dave, which is the smell. Let's all take a drink or smell of the notorious POG from Stone.
Oh, man, it smells like orange juice. I mean, it's a...
It does.
It smells like a mimosa is what it smells like, because you get some of the alcohol really in there, and then in like, the very, very orangey, yeah.
Just orange. A little bit of a little bit of tartness in there, but it's a very, I would say, a very inviting nose on this beer. It's not one of those ones you take a big whiff of, and it's a big alcohol or big... fragrance, that hoppy flavor. If you don't like hops, none of that is involved in this. This is one of the juiciest smelling noses of a beer that we've ever featured on Beer for Breakfast. So let's move on to our favorite part of Beer for Breakfast, which is the taste. Let's all take a big drink of the Stone Notorious POG.
Okay, since Ian and Audrey are faking it, I'll just tell you what I think. So I don't even know if, I mean, the orange is definitely in there. And I know there's some other fruits as well, like, what is it? They said, like, passion fruits in there and guava.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it tastes like orange juice, man. It tastes like, to me, it's very, very good. But, I mean, if you like orange juice and you want something with 5% alcohol by volume, which this is knocking on the door of at 4.7. You will love this beer. This is one that you could easily pour into a glass and drink. Well, maybe not a glass. Maybe even like a solo cup and just drink it by the pool. Or take the, try this can, one oversized. Drink it out of the can. Or if you want, you could even put it in like one of the, like two of them in like one of those thermoses.
And
if you're like going out like
a brute mate
exploring, or like you're on a bike ride or something like that, or you're going to watch like a movie in the park, whatever it may be, like that, this beer seems to pair really nicely with a hot day, which is perfect for summertime.
Yeah, and this is why they released it in the summer. I mean, when we think about how Stone has done their summer releases, we've done a couple of the other ones in the past, like the Stone Ripper, which has scored really, really high, in my opinion. I really liked it. It's one of my favorite summertime beers, even though they sell it year-round at this point. But this may be my favorite. I mean, if I'm going to try to introduce somebody who is not a beer drinker, but maybe they love, like, mixed drinks, like if they love, like, stuff, in, like I said, in orange juice or just something just a little bit fruitier, this is the perfect gateway summer beer for that. If you're out on the lake, if you're sitting on the dock, if you're just hanging out, this is a beer that will not offend. It is the maybe the quintessential perfect summer beer. And I think that goes pretty far. You know, I mean, or not pretty far, but I mean, I think this is a pretty bold statement from our friends at Stone.
Do you think that people who enjoy a lot of the like Blue Moons and things that you usually put a lot of citrus in would be a big fan of this if they want to elevate to craft beer?
So much better, Blue Moon. Yep.
And you know, there's some other beers that I really like. You know, we've talked about Modern Times Fruitlands. We've talked about you know, some of those that we've had in the past that are really good, but they're kind of they're different. They're not as digestible. This is probably the easiest drinking beer I've had in my life. It doesn't even. I wouldn't.
In your life.
I don't even know if I would know this was beer.
Right. Yeah.
If this was a blind taste test, I might have thought this was a mixed drink.
If you pour this over ice in a tumbler, you would swear that it was a mixed drink
of some sort.
So it's kind
of seltzery because of how much carbonation's in it?
But it's not as heavy as orange juice, and it's certainly not as, because that's the one thing. You know, it's very, very acidic. I'm not getting acidity from this. I'm on, you know, my second beer this morning of this, and I'm not getting that same problem that you would have if you're drinking mimosas or if you're drinking screwdrivers that you would. So if you're a big fan of orange, this would be it. I would say the mouthfeel on this, very refreshing, zero alcohol, nicely carbonated, and just very, very, very crisp, but still smooth at the same time.
Surprisingly light as well. So, like you said, it's not as heavy as an orange juice. You know, Audrey, you mentioned about the kind of the seltzery and the carbonation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those products out there that are on the market, and they overdo it for me because I don't like a lot of carbonation. I don't drink soda or any of that stuff.
Fake sweet. You get the fake sweet in there, which I don't like.
This feels authentic. It really does. I mean, it feels like a perfectly mixed screwdriver almost. Only it's a beer, and it's
so more juicy.
It's very
super juicy.
You don't get a lot of alcohol in there.
The perfect amount of tart, too.
A little tart. Yep.
Does it leave that sugar film that sometimes whenever you have a lot of that extra sugar juicy kind of beers? No. So it's
my,
like not overly sweet,
feel.
Little tart. Nice.
Yep.
you know, we've been doing this segment for a long time, and it's called Beer for Breakfast. This is the quintessential beer for breakfast as well.
Wow. I mean, yeah, if you were to have 9:30 a beer for breakfast, like this is very, you know, like you said, very mimosa-like, very orange juice-like. I'm floored with how good this is. I've never had this before this morning, and it is an exceptional beer from Stone.
Are you going to buy some more through Uber Eats, maybe?
I would never buy anything through Uber Eats again. I'm glad that you brought that up. Uber Eats is one of the worst companies that I've ever dealt with, really on a lot of different levels. But their customer service is the nut low. The way that they're dismissive of people and... Yeah, go ahead, Mahoney.
And if you're thinking of the exact opposite, that would be our friends over there at Stone, one of the best
breweries
in the entire world.
They care about their product.
One of the best summer beers that we've ever had. So we can't endorse this one enough, Dave. Can't we get a drum roll, please? And a witness.
I don't know about a witness, but here's the drum roll.
Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy. I give the notorious POG from Stone a 4.4 out of 5.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So the friendliest animals out there somehow have figured out how evolution works, and they're not mad at all the other animals around them. Scientists, both researchers at a couple of them, Brian Hare and Vanessa Woods, researchers at Duke University Center for Cognitive Neuroscience, believe something that survival of the fittest has been a work among species that have thrived throughout history. And basically just being cool with the fact that other things are also evolving is actually very good for animals and their ability to survive going into the, moving through future generations. So, I mean, doesn't this seem like this can also apply to humans quite a bit in this day and age? Like, if everyone
think about what's the coolest animal out there, a dog. Dogs are by far the coolest animals the planet, in my opinion.
They're never jealous of other animals. They're always willing to hang out and bro down with everyone. Yeah, that's actually interesting that you say that. The coolest animal in existence is dogs, right?
Without
Did
a doubt.
Did you hear that, Rupert? Yeah, the coolest animal. But my dogs do get jealous of other dogs, like if they're getting more attention than the others. No?
Well, because they know that those dogs have the same game that they do, you know? I mean, you're infringing upon what they got going on, you know? I feel like that's what's happening. But, I mean, if you think about it, like, I think as long as human and mankind exist, dogs will be right there with us.
I hope so. I really do.
That said, monkeys are kind of wankers. Like, I think we all really hoped that monkeys would be cooler, right?
Cool.
But yeah, they're not. I mean, they're always biting. When I was over in Thailand on our honeymoon, like, there was a monkey that was actually, like, on, like, a little leash. And
they got, like monkey gangs, man.
He charged at me and, like, just stopped right before he was able to attack. I'm like, damn. Maybe shorten that leash
sloths.
A little bit.
Sloths aren't hurting nobody.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Someone in the chat said cats or felines in general. I feel like big cats, like, those are terrifying. Like, small cats, like Ian's cats, he's got beauty queens of cats.
They'll still eat
you.
They're
like perfect.
They'll still eat you when you die.
Yeah. No, they're perfect.
So a survey shows that 60% of Americans believe that fitness clubs will go extinct. How do you guys feel about this?
No.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, I'm good. No. I'm good with it.
You're fine.
Why would they go extinct?
Well, they just think that everything that's happening with COVID-19 has just changed things. A lot of people have, you know, made home gyms, or they've gotten into other habits of exercising, and so.
No, because you still can't buy free weights. No, you still can't buy equipment.
Well,
even
when you can, most people don't. Like, the average person doesn't have enough, you know, space in their house, or they would have to give up their garage. You know, if you live in an apartment, there's zero chance. The gym will always be a part of.
And there's not a whole bunch of society. There's not a whole bunch of attractive chicks wearing hot pants walking around in my garage either. So there's that.
Well,
where else am I
going to
watch court TV all day? You know, right? I mean, like, how will court TV survive without gyms?
Have you seen that mirror that's being advertised now? Like, all of these places and all of these things. Like, there's the gym mirror. Obviously, your Peloton and other, like, competitors. And there's a new treadmill that you can literally go up to almost, like, a 35-degree angle on. And you're being coached by beautiful people the whole time.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
Yeah, but it's still not an ass straight in front of you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's...
That is a strong selling point, you know. That really is. I mean, and I feel like gyms have only gotten more popular with the advent of the workout pants for the ladies.
The workout pants have gotten really good.
Just go to the grocery store. We wear them everywhere outside of working out. Majority of the time, 95% of the time,
when you go to the grocery store, you see people who. You're not like me wearing those, super fit.
You're not bending over and grunting at the grocery store, are you?
Yeah, I am. I got to get the rice. It's always on the bottom.
Why is the rice always on the bottom?
I don't know.
This is kind of cool to round it out today. A Western Wisconsin man will share his millions of dollars in lottery winnings with a longtime friend because of a promise that they made nearly three decades ago. Friends Tom Cook and his name is Josephine. He shook hands in 1992 and promised that if either one of them ever won the Powerball jackpot, they would split the money. That promise came to fruition last month when Cook bought the winning ticket for $22 million.
Wow.
When Cook called his friend to give him the good news, his buddy couldn't believe him. He called me. He said, "Man, are you jerking my bobber?" Which
is that a saying? Yeah, is that a common saying? Well,
he's an avid fisher, right?
Fishing term.
Are you jerking my bobber? But yeah, Cook retired after hitting the jackpot, while Feeney was already retired. Neither has any. Neither
are you massaging my minnow?
No.
Are you wanking my worm? Like, what's going on here, man? But sure enough, they each got about $5 million. They each got about $5.7 million after all the taxes were paid and everything else. So they chose the cash out option, which came to $16.7 million. Obviously, taxes come out, but still north of $11 million in total, and they each get $5.7 million.
Whoo!
And Ellie said, "You best not be tugging my trout."